Everyone's got a worksheet, I take it, so we're okay with that. That's fine. It's lovely to see you this morning. Lovely to be back. Because we've got so much to do and so many things to do this morning, I think it's time for the jacket to come off. And gentlemen, if you're feeling, or ladies, if you're feeling a wee bit warm, then please dispense with some clothing. Appropriate clothing. Well, this morning we have some intimations that I can read out because we don't have the overhead. Of course, there's the tea and coffee afterwards, after the service, so please feel free to come through to the lower hall. Forgive me because I have to run away. I never get my tea and my coffee with you, but maybe someday. There is a retiring offering today for the general funds of the church, I believe. So have a look at that. Magazine entries. Today is the day. If you've been holding on to that wee written letter or that wee article, please get it in today. It really makes a magazine worth producing when it has all these things in it. There's a service, or at least there's a meeting up at the Three Towns Care Home today at 3 p.m. I think Jim is handling that one with his organ, and there's a sing-along, so please go along and join him up there as well. And our dear announced that every Wednesday there's a weekly walk from 11 a.m. from the church, so get one of these things that tells you how many steps you've taken and join them on a Wednesday. Dave, the minister's off till the end of August, and Scott Cameron will be covering for the pastoral care if you need any pastoral care there. One sad event to announce this morning, and I think most of you are there before me, that quite unexpectedly Jean Gorry passed away last Tuesday. And I went to see Bobby on Friday and the family and be with them for a little while. So the funeral will be this Thursday here in this church at 2:30. And then down to Holmford Bridge Crematorium at 3:30. And please remember Bobby and the family in your thoughts and prayers today. It's a saddest tone for that. But Jean passed away very quietly at home and unexpectedly. And it looks like I'm the organist this morning, so I'll try my best. As we are gathered, let us stand as the Bible comes in.
As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Jesus is here, joined by the Spirit, washed in His blood, part of the body, the Church of God. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Jesus is here.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, 11:28-30. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and the burden is light. Christ calls us to come to worship, to rest from the things that are troubling us, to learn what Christ can teach of life, to realize what we can offer to others, and so to return into the world to serve. So let us worship when we sing "All I Once Held Dear."
Lord's help, dear, build my life upon all this world reveres and wars to hold. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, but worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess my faith, what I could not earn, the surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to be bound by you, in my death, my Lord, so knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord, love.
Amen. And there is the problem, that I know different tunes to you. But we'll manage, we'll manage. Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Shall we pray? Loving Lord God, you hold the universe in your hands. You breathe life into the world that you have gifted to us. We bow our heads this morning in honouring you and giving you your place at the head of our service today. We recognise again your sovereignty over all things, and that we are simply a part of your will. Help us this day to honour and glorify you in all we say and sing and pray, in all we learn and teach, in all we give in love by the example of Jesus, your Son, the Christ of God. We thank you again for Jesus and all that he came to achieve on earth for us by his death on the cross and his resurrection and ascension. He put in place your great plan of salvation for humankind. What a wonderful God you are. Father God, help us to be heavenly focused in our daily lives. In all we do and say, may we encourage and edify, build up and support. And yet sometimes we fall far short of these desires, Father. We forget to worship you. We forget to read your word. And we forget to pray and speak to you. Forgive us, Abba, for our ways where we do not do as Jesus taught, and we do not go as we should into the world to make disciples for Jesus. Help us be strong in that calling wherever we may be. Loving Heavenly Father, young and old gather in your presence this morning. bringing ourselves in worship to you, coming to bless you, to lift the name of Jesus high. Hear us now as we worship, singing, praying, learning, and giving. And hear us now as we pray that wonderful prayer Jesus taught his disciples and passed on down to us when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, verses 13 to 20. And I think Finlay is going to read that for us.
Matthew 16, verse 13. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Amen. May God bless this reading from his word. And it's good to be preaching this morning in something of the New Testament. For the last 6 months I've been with you, we've been coming from the Old Testament, pointing towards the New Testament. And because Dave left the gap open for anyone to preach what they liked, I came straight in to the New Testament this morning. So I'm really grateful for that. Because the challenges of the last few months have been quite overpowering. But this, as I was looking at this passage this week, I was reflecting a little bit on the foundations, on building. And I was thinking a little bit about how mankind are very proficient and they're very, very clever at building. Right from the earliest of days, and we can't say that all the buildings that we have today are the pinnacle of building. Even thousands of years ago, they were building some amazing structures. And man knew how to protect himself from the elements, how to build a shelter, how to find food, how to provide for himself. And yet, when I was reflecting and thinking back to these times, and I remember when we were talking about the Old Testament, that we were talking a lot about how the people recorded everything in the Old Testament in relation to that relationship with God the Father, with Yahweh. That if Yahweh was displeased with them, then things would go badly. But if Yahweh was... No, sorry, if Yahweh was annoyed with them, things would go badly. If he was pleased with them, things would go well. And they walked hand in hand in a spiritual sense, as well as a temporal sense. So although they were proficient at providing for themselves, for providing buildings, they had a spiritual balance there as well. And they had a foundation upon Yahweh. Okay, they wandered from it. And they worshipped other gods and they did lots of bad things. But they still had a foundation that, just like a building, of a spiritual foundation which gave this balance. And as I reflected a little bit, and what we're going to come to look at in a moment or two, is that I feel, and maybe you disagree with me, I don't know, that we've kind of upset that balance today, that we have a foundation that says man can look after himself. We can be our own foundation. We can discover things. We can build things. We can look out for ourselves, and we don't need a God. Therefore, we don't need the spiritual side of ourselves. And yet, in ignoring that, we're ignoring something that lies deep within us, because we're spiritual people. We're people that require something there. People are seeking spiritual things all the time. But they're moving from this foundation that we know as Christians as Jesus and Peter upon the rock. They're moving away from these foundations to self-sufficiency. And it was just reflecting on that balance of how we can bring it back somehow. And I think that's our job as Christians, in a way, is to go out and to redress that imbalance, to tell people about Christ, to tell people about how they can lay the foundations of their spiritual life, so that when troubles come, when storms come, yes, their house may stand up, but their life may go through some traumas, and they need that foundation of Christ to rely on. And that's what we're going to come and we're going to see in our preaching in a moment or two, as we build on a spiritual sense. And I was going to do a wee talk this morning about building, you know, with Lego bricks and things. You ever built with a Lego? Do you like the Lego? I used to love the Lego. And I was going to speak about, you know, when you build with Lego, you don't just go down to the beach and start building on the sand down there, do you? You know, putting stuff down, because it's all going to go. In fact, you're going to lose them. Nowadays, Lego becomes more of an annoyance for me, because when you stand on a bit, it's not very pleasant when your grandchildren leave them lying all over the floor. But you need a solid base, even for that, to place the Lego on and to build your building on. And it's that foundation that we're going to be looking about, this base, this rock upon which we build this morning. And I've got a wee song that we sing. I know that you sing "The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock." You know that one? Yeah? Well, I'm not going to sing that, but that's the one that we know. I've got another one, and it's about not building your house on sand, on sandy land. What do you think will happen if you build on sandy land? It's going to sink into the sand, isn't it? It's going to, and then it might fall over, and that's not very good, isn't it? So a lot of the things that we have in the world today, if we're talking about our spiritual side, are like sinking sand. And when you base your life upon your job, your car, your family, your friends, your hobbies, then that could be like sinking sand at times, because they might let you down and you might start to sink. So shall we sing? I think you know this one, actually, because I think we've sung it before. Don't build your house on sandy land. Just a wee second till I ask the musician to do it. I think we probably need to stand for this, don't we? Because it's a wee bit rocky. It's a wee bit rocky. It goes a bit like this, so we'll sing it through a couple of times. And if you know it, just join in. You've got the words.
Don't build your house on sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it may look kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice, or you'll have to build your house once more. You better build your house upon a rock. Make a good foundation on a solid spot. Oh, the storms may come and go, but the peace of God you'll know.
Got it.
Don't build your house on sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it may look kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice, so you'll have to build your house once more. Better build your house upon a rock. Make a good foundation on a solid spot. Oh, the storms may come and go, but the peace of God you'll know.
Learn that one, we'll do it another time, eh? That was a good one. And just before you go, can I just pray a blessing over the summer club? I take it, are summer club going out today, are they? Or are they staying in?
Going out.
You're going out? Okay, you can go to the summer club. Let's just pray for the children before they go. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the youngsters amongst us today. We pray that they're blessed by being here in your church family. We pray that they will be blessed in the summer club this morning. Thank you for those who have volunteered to do that too. But it'll be a blessing for them as well. And we think of all our children from school, them from nurseries, from younger times, who are anywhere at this time, be it on holiday or at home, or running about playing ball in the street. Father, will you protect them? Will you be looking over them, Lord, and bring them under your wing, that they come back to us refreshed, revitalized, and ready to go again in 2 or 3 weeks' time when the terms take off. We thank you, Lord, that we can have this time of reflection, that we can have a time where we can lay things down and be at peace. So be with us now and be with our youngsters as they go from here. Keep them noisy, keep them vibrant, keep them looking as if the future is always there. The future is always for the invincible as they feel, as they come through their teenage lives. And Lord, teach them about the foundation of Jesus. Because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, folks. Our offering will now be received, and this morning's voluntary is silence. Join our hearts and minds again in the prayer for others this morning, and I'll give you a few minutes as usual to bring forward your own prayers at this time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, who brings all blessings to us, who provides for us in many different ways, some of which we will never know, we thank you. And we bring you this love offering this morning as a token of our love for you. And we ask, Lord, that those who distribute this money will do so with integrity, with honesty, and with wisdom. And we place it here before you and commit it into your service now in Jesus' name. And Father, we think of our world this morning. We think of the weather changes that create droughts and wildfires and earthquakes and storms and famine. And Father, we pray for all those caught up in these events, that your Spirit will be with them, that you will resource them, and your peace and comfort will remain with them if they've lost loved ones in the events. We pray, Father, for this world and the politics of this world. A strange thing. But politics that creates wars, that creates greed, that creates hunger, man-made misery. Oh, Father, we bring politics of this world before you and ask for our leaders, Lord, to become wise as Solomon. For our leaders to see the suffering that they might be part of, and to look to the people and to resource them as well. We think of areas like Syria that seems to have gone out of the media just now, but the war rages nevertheless. People sit in camps, hungry and in need of food. Children look through the wires. They don't go to summer clubs. They don't play in the streets. Father, be with them. Father, care for them. Help those who go there to help them to be able to do something really concrete with them. We think of our community around us, our physical and spiritual well-being in this community, where people require a roof over their head, food in their bellies, and where in spiritual way they're lacking Father, we pray that we might be able to take that word of life to them. We pray this morning against violence in the home, in the street. We pray, Father, against addictions of any kind in our community. May your Spirit travel through our streets like a balm, Father, and bring peace. And Father, we pray for ourselves this morning. And we certainly remember Bobby and his family. And we ask for your peace and comfort. Be near them now, Lord, as they prepare for Jean's funeral this week and beyond. And Father, we include in that all who have been bereaved recently or some time ago and are still have that soreness in their heart. Lord, will you put your hand of peace and comfort and healing upon them this morning? And we've prayed for protection of our children already, Lord. But they're dear to us. So we ask again that your hand of protection be over them. Guide them in their upbringing. Guide them in all that they seek to do. Protect them against internet. Protect them against addiction to TV screens and to iPads. Bring them health, Lord, we pray, for our children. We pray for our ministers, and especially for Dave and Maureen as they have a holiday now. I pray, Father, that they become refreshed and revitalized for their return at the end of the month. Be with them and bless them at this time. And Lord, for those we hold dear in our hearts, will you hear our silent prayers now in a time of prayer? Heavenly Father, who hears all our prayers, the silent prayers of our hearts and the spoken prayers this morning, we lay them before you now, and we ask for your peace, for your comfort, and your Spirit to be with us as we continue in our worship. We pray in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. There is our Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. We're going to stand and sing. Thank you, oh my Father.
giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that I'll be very, very clear and that this will bring great honor and glory to your name. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning is from Matthew, and it centers around the confession of Peter and the notion that Jesus will build his church. Of course, by church we mean ecclesia, the people, not the building. A dictionary meaning of church would certainly focus on the building as a place of worship rather than on the people. But that's what we are looking at this morning. The people, the family of God, and that relationship with Jesus that builds on his firm foundation. Who do the people say the Son of Man is? And but what about you? Who do you say I am? Two very different leading questions directed at the disciples by Jesus. One easier to answer than the other. Who do the people say the Son of Man is? Just requires some observation of what the crowds were saying. We can easily do the same. But Jesus, I suspect, already knew the answer to that question. What he's driving at is a more direct, it needs a deeper reflection on the disciples' part. It needs a deeper thought on our part, who profess to be Christian. You see, the real question Jesus is putting leads on from that first question. Yes, he might say, you've heard all that stuff about me. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But what about your own heart? The second question, who do you say I am? Sometimes can be not so easy to answer. Who do you say I am? And you can imagine his disciples looking at one another and going, what does he mean? He's Jesus. What's he getting at? They might say, well, look, we asked this question many times, haven't we? When the boat was sinking and he awoke and he calmed the storm, and we asked each other, who is this that can control the elements? And you remember that time when he came walking on the water towards us. And then the realization begins to set in. This calls for a deeper examination of the heart. The Holy Spirit comes to the aid of the disciples, and Peter speaks up. You are the Christ of God, the Messiah. Result, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Jesus is pleased. Jesus must know he's partways there. His dim followers are getting to understand his divine nature. Now it's time to teach a deeper personal lesson for the disciples, that of the suffering Christ. For these are to be the men that he must build his church on, or at least they must assist in its rise. The day is coming, and it's coming on fast now, where the Son of Man must suffer, and he must have these men ready for all events. He needs to buff a church that will grow through the ages. It will develop, it will evolve into a glorious bride, resplendent and beautiful, humble and obedient, and alive in the Spirit, inextricably linked to God the Father in heaven. And time is of the essence. That's our backstory. This is the first revelation for his disciples that Jesus is more than a man. He is Christ of God, the very Messiah all Israel has been expecting and waiting on for hundreds of years. Even if they have been saying it with their lips, it must now be reaching their hearts. Even when we profess to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, such an answer must come from our hearts. Such a statement requires backup, a life in Christ. And Jesus is going to reveal to these disciples that his church will be birthed, a church that will grow and grow forward to the day that even we can be part of it. It's a church for all who would take up Jesus' invitation to believe in him and to seek to follow his ways. The church of Jesus, born for all, for Jews, for Gentiles, to the very corners of the earth. In Acts 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." A church built on relationship and a new covenant. God to man, man to God, man to man, person to person. A multitude of disciples making new disciples in the name of Jesus, becoming living sacrifices in the kingdom of God, throwing down or holding very lightly the things of this world and taking up a better, most excellent way, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and tolerance and obedience to God's bidding, and all in all experiencing the joy of new life as Christ's one. A life with a godly purpose while we dwell on this earth, and a joy of knowing all who come to Jesus will live fully in the favor of God on earth and in eternity with him in heaven when we finished with this earthly tent in which we dwell. So what have we here in this passage of Scripture? Many commentators say this is a pivotal moment recorded across the three synoptic Gospels. This is Peter's confession, but technically it should read the disciples' confession. Since Jesus asks all of them in the plural, the translation, "Who do you, plural translation, say I am?" And Jesus speaks up for them all. And here they sit at the furthest outpost of Galilee, away from the border, away on the border of Syria, in the region of Caesarea Philippi, walking the green pastures at the head of the Jordan River, in the shade of Mount Hermon, where many believe the transfiguration took place, a lush and green area given over to pagan worship of the god Pan, the god of agriculture and nature, so-called. "Who do the people say I am?" You know, the crowds honor Jesus. They're attributing to him greatness for what they have witnessed. They're calling him John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the old prophets come back to life. A great prophet, but... Now, Jesus certainly was a great prophet and teacher, but the crowd do not see him as the Messiah. They're offering him the lesser role, the sideshow, the one who will prepare the way for the great Savior of Israel to come riding on the clouds, at least on a stallion with an army even of angels. A warrior to rid the Holy Land of the oppressors and the foreign influence of the Greco-Roman culture pervading Jewish tradition. They have missed the point. They are not making Jesus the main man, only the support act. But that support had come and gone already. Herod Antipas had already executed, nay, murdered John the Baptist. And he thought that Jesus was John come back to life to haunt him. And why Elijah? Well, we need to track back into the Old Testament to find a reason. Almost at the very end of the Old Testament, Malachi, he gives the prophecy that the day of the Lord is coming when all will be judged. On that terrible day, he says, all the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble, and that day is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord. And Malachi goes on, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And Jesus tells them, look, Elijah had already come in the shape of John the Baptist. So the people gave much kudos to Jesus, but nothing of the understanding of his deity. Throughout the ages, and even today, people still misjudge or they have no idea of who Christ is. He was a good man, they say. He was a prophet, so-called. Perhaps he did lots of good things, but we're really not sure about the miracles. Perhaps he was the greatest teacher, and he certainly was a wise man. Do people today still regard him, though, as the Christ of God? In our churches today, do we still regard him as the Christ of God? The disciples, perhaps reclining at the roadside on the grass, are ready to hear what Jesus now wants to teach. And as I said, this is a pivotal moment of the time with them. From now on, he will teach of the suffering Christ, the need for scripture and prophecy to be fulfilled in his death and resurrection. So they have confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, the anointed one, God with us. We know the Greek, Jesus, the Hebrew, Joshua, God with us. They have seen the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, yet their understanding is still dim. Just like the blind man that Jesus healed at Bethsaida. In Mark's Gospel, we hear of Jesus using saliva to heal and to restore the sight. In the first application, the blind man begins to see dim figures walking like trees. A second application, it clears his vision entirely. There's some parallel here for the disciples' understanding of who Jesus was. It's also for us that when we become Christian, we may see imperfectly. But as life goes on, we learn and mature in our faith, or at least we should. The first application to the blind man's eyes, the disciples begin to see something, although it was still not clear, like men walking like trees. It would not be until Pentecost and the pouring out of the Spirit that they would receive the second application. And they'd see clearly, they'd see the mission of Jesus, and now it was theirs to live in Christ, to help teach and spread God's plan of salvation for all humankind, achieved by the Christ of God's suffering and dying on the cross and his victorious resurrection on the third day, to preach repentance and forgiveness. So now Jesus tells him of the cross and that he must suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the Jewish leaders and be put to death, and that he would be resurrected on the third day. They wouldn't like this teaching, of course. Peter would protest that this shouldn't happen to their Messiah. Peter, who was all in favor a moment ago, must now suffer the indignity of being compared to Satan for his worldly outburst. On this rock, Caiaphas, Cephas, I will build my ecclesia. Caiaphas or Cephas is Aramaic for Peter. It means a rock, a little rock, or stone. And some say that Peter was the rock on which Jesus would build his church. Others say that it's upon Peter's faith that our church will be built. And yet some say that this is just a play on words, that Jesus is the rock on which the church will be built. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, in verse 18. But Jesus was ushering in a new way for the people who would worship not on a mountain like the Samaritans and not in the temple like the Jews at Jerusalem. People of the way, it would be called firstly by those outside of faith. Born of the Spirit, justified through the cross and seen as righteous and holy in the sight of the God Most High. Jesus, the rock, the cornerstone, or sometimes referred to as the capstone. Jesus, the foundation, with Peter and the disciples and all the saints that have gone before, and even us are the little rocks, the Caiaphas. You and I are living stones, or translated, it means lively stones, not rolling stones, lively stones. Jesus had built and is building his church through you and I today. We are lively stones needed to bring other living stones into the construction. And we are all resting on that main person of Jesus, the most vast and beautiful cornerstone. The corner or the capstone that was rejected by the Jews, by the Pharisees and the leaders of Judaism. But let's move forward. Well, let's move forward 2,000 years. And we'll leave the dusty streets of Jerusalem behind and the fresh, green, lush pastures of Caesarea Philippi and come over to Stevenson. Let's survey Jesus' church. We still and will always know the church is the ecclesia, the assembly of people. The church family, we like to say, and that's a warm, inclusive idea, befitting what the Lord would approve of. And yet does society view the church as a building in the main? The dictionary probably says something like a place where religious people gather to worship. But who do the people say the Son of Man is? I hear the echo drift through the ages, and what would you and I reply? Lord, they say you are a myth, an invention, folklore, fairy tale, tradition, a habit, a social club, a closed shop. And no, we cry. We cry above the cynics, the skeptics, the atheists, the humanists, the secularists. No, he is Jesus, God's Son, who came and did good deeds. He is our Lord and Savior, if you understand. He is our strength when we are weak, when we are suffering or grieving, our cornerstone, the main man the prophet spoke of. He is our good shepherd, our comforter, our gateway, the truth, the light, and the life, the Christ of God. And we know that the comfortable in their earthly wealth and those arrogant of their status above men would reply that we are fools. Look at the mess in the world, they'd say. Look at the evil all around. Where is your God? For God made the cross foolishness to those who perish. 1 Corinthians 1:18. We know that this church is given power and authority from on high. What we bind is bound. What we loose is loosed. And then quietly Jesus will whisper to us, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am, Brian? Who do you say I am, Willie? Who do you say I am, Mary? As you have shown us, Lord, we would say that you are the rock on which we build. We will try to be to others as you are to us. We will try to be a church built on your love, bringing hope. We will be teachers, lovers of humanity, providers, encouragers, motivators, joy bringers, maker of disciples, lively stones we will be, not rolling stones, living stones. And you know what we might reflect on is that no stone on its own is an island. No stone is a building on its own. We are called to support each other, to be part of the greater body with Christ as the head, the all-important capstone, living in harmony in the house of the Lord wherever God's people are praising. Each of us special to God, each stone crafted for the place it will take up, each of us with a purpose in this beautiful design of God's church. And we pray for this church family here in this wonderful place. And we pray for churches across Ayrshire that Jesus is still building in our churches. For just as his disciples recognized the joy of Jesus the Messiah, their hopes were dampened by his talk of suffering at the hands of the Jewish and Roman establishments and dying on a cross. And just as we find the joy of Christ in our hearts, there will be times when we feel discouraged or desperate because our numbers are falling, people are leaving or moving. Our prayer should be one of thanksgiving that Jesus is still building his church. He never gave up. His words were in the future, continuous verb in translation. I will build and keep on building until the end of the age. What great encouragement we should take from that. Read on in our passage and we'll see that Jesus must tell his disciples that things will get hard. Suffering will come. Yet the Son of Man is going to come in his glory with the angels, and he's bringing rewards for each person for what they have done. So let us reflect on our foundation today. Is Christ of God our capstone? Are we seeking that secure, steady guide and structure for our lives in a personal way that will extend to the corporate worship within our fellowship? If so, then let us rejoice that the bride, the beautiful ecclesia that Jesus has gathered, will prevail, and nothing, no nothing, not even the gates of hell or Hades, as it says in the reading, will ever, ever, ever overcome it. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, upon your solid foundation, Jesus Christ, we rest, built into a fabric of loving church family. Help us to play our part in this great design for the salvation of humankind. Help us to remain encouraged today that you are still building. We pray that as Master Builder, you will allow our church family here in Stevenson to see much of that continued growth and revival as we weave more living stones into this web of love. For the coming week, we pray that we will remember who you are, Lord Jesus, not just as a name, but as a living Christ of God who lives in us and seeks to do good through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As water to the thirsty. Well, to them what has a croak in their throat. I think we'll remain seated for this, and then I'll ask you to stand for the benediction, just so we can do this in a reflective manner. As water to the thirsty, as beauty to the eyes, as strength that follows weakness, as truth instead of lies, as song time and spring time and summer time to be, so is my Lord, my living Lord, is my Lord. Come in place of clamor, like peace that follows pain, like meeting after parting, like sunshine after rain, like moonlight and starlight and sunlight on the sea, so is my Lord, my living. Sleep that follows fever, as cold
gold instead of grey, as freedom after bondage, as sunrise to the day, as home to the traveller and all we long to see. So is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me.
Shall we stand for the benediction? May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go in the strength of God and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be with us and remain with us now and always. Amen.